We can't afford it.
All right, we'll begin our meeting with a call to order. Are there any citizen comments? Yeah, if you want to just come right there in the middle, you can
right
either stand or sit, whatever you please.
I'm Barb Bratton. You know me from the budget sessions. I'm the director of the Kenosha County Library System, and I'm just here in support of Nancy Kemp's reappointment to my board. She's been a terrific member for a number of years. She understands the nuances of all the finances and how the libraries are related to the system and all of that. And she has great attendance, and it would be very, very good for her to represent the west side of the county on our board. So that's my statement tonight.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other citizen comments?
Hi, my name is Sharon Servey, and I'm the president of the Kenosha County Library Board. And I'm here to state my support for Nancy Kemp to remain on our board. She's been a board member for over a dozen years. I found her to be competent, diligent, intelligent, reliable. And she wishes to remain on the board, and we strongly feel that she should remain a board member. I don't understand why the current board would try to remove her, and I would really like an explanation on that. Thank you.
Anyone else? Any other citizens comments? Yes, go ahead.
Just thing, sorry. Yvonne Bessick, I live in Salem, Wisconsin, on Camp Lake Road, and I'm just here to state my support for the what was her name? Gosh, you know, I just walked in and I'm drawing a blank.
Mrs. Kim.
Kim?
Yes, Kim. Thank you very much. I feel that the library is they're very professional, and I think they've done a great job, and I just I feel the same way as the prior speaker. There'd be no reason not to let her stay on the board if she chooses to stay on. So I think they've been very professional with any interactions I've had with them out in the county.
Thank you.
Any
other comments? Anyone else? Citizen comments, last call. All right, we'll close citizen comments. Thank you. And I have no report. Do any committee members have any report? No one? All right. Approval of the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion, corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? They are approved. And the next item is the request to approve the appointment of Nancy Kemp to the library board.
Good evening, Chairman, Supervisors, Youth and Governance. Clara Tappa here to seek your approval on the reappointment of Nancy Kemp to the Kenosha County Library System Board. Ms. Kemp will be succeeding herself, and she has an exemplary attendance record.
All right, anyone have anything to say? Discussion?
Ms. Kemp,
perhaps you could introduce her.
Sure.
Hi, would you like to introduce yourself? And
I'm Nancy Kemp. I am from the town of Randall, and I love libraries. And I'm the community library board, and our friends of the library board, and
I don't
have any questions.
Discussion, anyone?
So I have a number of questions, but I'd like whoever else has questions to go first, and then I'll close it out, if that's okay.
Mr. Chairman, if you'd like a motion to get it on the floor,
yeah.
I would move approval of the appointment.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Further discussion? Okay. I think it's up to you.
Okay. I have a few questions for you, Nancy. Do you believe that the library should be a place of neutrality? Like no political, religious, social agendas in the recommendations provided by the library staff?
Well, I think for the Kenosha County Library Systems Board, that isn't pertinent. So,
I'm not sure if that would be the role I would have on that board, or have had on that board.
So, you would participate in some of the recommendations, would you not?
Recommendations?
As a board, we would approve some of these recommendations, would we not? Like the NEA Big Read, was that something that we approved the financing for, or it was on that list of stuff? So well, that's good to know. Do you wholeheartedly support Director Branton's use of her office and the recommendations she has made in her role?
As director of the KCLS?
In all her functions regarding the libraries.
Well, that's different. I don't know PPL stuff, so.
Okay, so.
So I'd say yes for KCLS and the experience I've had with her.
Do you support recommending homegoing for the NEA Big Read for 2023? Do you support that recommendation?
That's a KPL item.
So you don't want to take a stand on that, or you don't?
Well, I don't see that it's relevant.
Okay, that's fine. Do you know that book is being promoted in the libraries on west of the I?
I know it is part of the Big Read, yes.
Okay. And do you know that it contains a graphic description of a rape of a small child, a young child?
I have not started the book yet, so I don't know that.
Okay. Are you familiar with We Read Banned Books display in libraries?
No.
Okay. I recommend you visit the website that's on that banner. What are the current procedures to keep adult material secured in the library?
In what library?
In any of them that you know of, in your experience. Well, then you wouldn't have any suggestions on how they could be made more secure. Are you aware that Director Branton has used her position to do the following: send out a survey to people running for office in the 2022 election cycle? Are you aware of that?
No, and I don't think it's relevant to
That's okay. We'll keep going. If you were aware of that, would that be appropriate use of a librarian's office?
I would have to have more details.
Okay. Were you aware that she posted no guns allowed signs on the library, even though that wasn't true?
No.
Okay. Do you see her strongly promoting the NEA Big Read?
Strongly promoting it? I think I this is the 10th.
Okay,
one
promoting it then. Right. Let's say promoting it.
Well, that's what the job is. And when you get the grant, you do that. This is the 10th one I've participated in, and there's always community events, so there would be promotion.
Are you aware that she's refused to come before the executive committee, not this committee, the executive committee of the council, to talk about what the library is doing and her plans and how we interface? Are you aware of that?
That is not KCLS.
Okay. So, based on her answers, I just don't support this appointment. There's a lot of stuff she doesn't know that I would think she should be aware of, and I'm going to vote no, and I urge you guys to do the same.
All right, further discussion? Aaron?
I have a question. How is the Kenosha City Library, or the Kenosha Public Library, how does that interact with the Kenosha or the community library system?
They're two separate libraries.
And library systems, right?
No, they're two separate libraries.
Okay.
And then together they're a system.
Okay.
So in our county we have two libraries in our system. You know, the other, you know, the Prairie Lakes now, which is Rock County, Racine, and Waller.
So those Rock,
and they,
Racine,
right,
and Walworth,
and they are together in a system.
In our system?
In their system, Prairie Lakes. And then they have multiple libraries in all those counties. So in our system, Kenosha County Library System, there are just two libraries, KPL and
Library. Okay, so even though, so community library is considered one library with multiple locations?
Two branches.
Okay. And then what is the board that you sit on, Supervisor Stocker?
Apparently we have almost zero oversight over anything.
What board is that?
So I don't even remember the exact.
It's on KCLS board.
Kenosha Library
System Board.
So that is oversees both?
No.
Or explain it, please. I don't understand.
It has to do with Barbara.
Yeah, I do.
Do you want
to?
Yes, because
the Kenosha County Library System is one of 17 library systems in the state that are put together under the jurisdiction of Chapter 43 of the statutes. And what it does is it provides state money and county money to support technology for the libraries. It has absolutely no jurisdiction over what the library has in its collection or what programs it has. All it is an oversight board to make sure that the system follows the state statutes in terms of what it's required to provide to libraries. And there's a financial oversight by citizens. And that's all that's required of a KCLS board member. Again, they have no say over what happens in the libraries, what the policies of the libraries are. The libraries themselves have boards that are appointed for that purpose.
So it's a different board.
Okay, and that's, okay.
Yeah.
And what does that board oversee?
It makes sure that we spend the money, as we should. It's taxpayer money, whether it comes from the state or whether it comes from the county. So there's oversight in the financial part of it. And the state requires certain services from the system. So they make sure that we live up to what the state requires us to do. And that's about it. We do have like a technology plan for the county itself. The idea is that if you live in a rural area or you live in a big city, you have quality library services. And so that's why systems were created.
Okay.
And we also deal with the agreements between the Prairie Lakes. They used to be two, they combined.
So there's a reimbursement across the county. So Racine users can use us, but then Racine County has to pay us back.
Okay. So much of what Tim was asking about was KPL. Policies of the Kenosha Public Library, not the system.
Do those policies flow into what's done in our library out here in the west of the eye? The policies that are in the
Kenosha Public Library?
Yeah. And no, do those policies?
The community library is separate. It's a separate library.
Okay, so who? So you're saying those boards out there run them?
The board, yeah, of
each individual.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything further from, yes, Brian?
Just very simple. This is your first renewal, or have you only served one term?
No, 2009, that's right.
Okay, so you've served three terms.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can fill somebody's room started, if it was, yeah, but it's been that long.
You got too quick on volunteering.
That's what I like to do.
You said you love libraries. You love libraries, or you love reading?
Definitely both, you know. I mean, that's why I volunteer on the, I'm the vice president of Friends of Library, Friends of Community Library, and book sales, and, you know, next week we're having a fundraiser for Spring Bling Bling, jewelry that people donated, and picked that up.
I was curious what that was.
Yes, it was our first time trying the jewelry, usually it's books.
Further discussion?
Dave. Through the chair to the director of the Kenosha County Library Systems. I remember the way the budget worked is that there's a state law that says that if the county funds the Kenosha County library system, then municipalities that don't have a library get to participate in the other entities that are in the system, right? So if I live in the Village of Summers, I don't have a library, but I get to use the city of Kenosha, the Kenosha Public Library, and I also get to use the Racine Library.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what other library systems I get to use if I cross state.
Yeah, you can use any library. It's a the Wisconsin idea, right?
That it's a Wisconsin idea.
It's extremely important, and so that's why there's systems all across the state, to make sure that no matter where you live, you have the right to use a library. And then the reimbursement is not a membership, for instance.
No.
So Pleasant Prairie doesn't pay us a certain amount of money to so that we will let people come.
No.
What they do is the libraries are extremely popular. Over, I think, 26% of Kenosha public libraries use is from people who don't pay directly to us. So this enables it. It helps the library because we couldn't afford to, to tax Kenosha and then serve everyone. And so we are reimbursed for the use of the library. And yeah, so it's a big deal to have the systems. That's what makes our libraries great in the state, is that we can afford to give service to everybody because of this reimbursement.
Doesn't the majority of the money that Kenosha County pays to the Kenosha County library system go to the Kenosha Public Library, the city library?
My
recall is
much bigger.
The majority
of
it.
A little more people on this side, yes, we do.
So really what this system does is give those that don't have their own library systems access to those that do have library systems. That's the big picture of this, right?
That's exactly right.
Now, if someone on a board, like Supervisor Stocker is on the Kenosha County Library System, if he wanted to put on the agenda the Kenosha County Library System an item to review policy of any of the participants, would that be something that he could do?
No, it's not the authority of that board, not
to set policy, but just to understand and learn the policy.
We do talk about it.
So he could put an agenda item on and get someone to report what that policy is on any of the participating library systems, at least learn what it is.
It wouldn't be relevant, but I'd be happy to talk about it.
And we're funding. We're helping fund the other library systems, so it would seem quid pro quo to at least have a report on what their procedures and policies are if there was a request for that.
Well, I think the better channel would be if Mr. Stoker does not like how the Kenosha Public Library operates. He is a citizen of Kenosha and he should come to their Kenosha.
Okay. So you're thinking it wouldn't go on the agenda of the Kenosha County? Okay.
It's not good for you.
All right, that's my question. I yield
the floor. Any other discussion, Tim?
Just real quick for my fellow committee members. There's what I see as an influence that our county is paying for, and we have no walls up to stop it. So I that's my concern here.
Further discussion? All right, why don't we take a vote.
Go ahead. Supervisor Stocker, so what you're saying is the county funds it, but we have no input into any of the direction of the libraries.
Correct.
Or anything like that, even though the county gives them a big chunk of money.
Right.
Further discussion?
Can I respond to that?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, this is not procedure, but we're reimbursed for the use 2 years ago, because that's the best data we have in August when we're putting together a budget. So basically what we're doing is getting money back for what your citizens wanted to do. They like the product, they use the product, and it seems to me that it's up to them whether they like the product or not. You're not paying again for a subscription to the library. What you're paying for is what's already happened, and your users love what they get. And so that's how it works.
All right, further discussion or comments? Right.
Yeah, I'll make just a brief comment. Ms. Kemp has stepped forward to work in a voluntary position to support the library system through this appointment. I stopped into a meeting yesterday on response, the public portion of a catastrophic response program. And at the end, talking to a couple of the individuals, they said, well, you're now on the committee because you're here. So there are precious few people that serve in the county in a myriad of roles. I appreciate the questions. The answers, I think there's room to expand a little bit. In a board role, there are things that should be questioned. Simply, I don't accept things, my nature. So I challenge everything. But I appreciate stepping forward, being a volunteer, essentially. And I'll leave it at that.
All right. Any other discussion? All right. Seeing none, why don't we call the roll, and I'll start with Aiden.
Aye.
Evan.
Aye.
Dave.
Aye.
Aaron.
Aye.
John.
Nay.
Brian.
Aye.
Nay.
All right. And I'll vote aye. All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So your appointment will come up at the next county board meeting on the agenda. If you'd like to attend, we'd certainly like to have you.
All right, thank you.
All right, move on to the next item of business. This is the resolution on the opioid funds, and Joe is going to review that with us. I'll circulate the appointment. Joe?
Good evening, Supervisors. I sent you some light reading. I should send you two instances of some light reading.
I'm going to send you some light.
I did that in part because I did want an opportunity outside and prior to this meeting for you to review some of these materials, because some of them are obviously somewhat lengthy. For those of you who are new to the board, since 2022, this will be new to you. Those of you who have been here before will have at least a passing familiarity. As I noted in the email that I sent, in 2017, the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors voted to retain outside counsel to file suit on behalf of the county against, very broadly speaking, opioid manufacturers. That was later expanded to distributors and pharmacy chains in an effort to try and recoup some of the really millions of dollars that had been spent fighting the opioid epidemic that has been discussed at great length at a number of various committees and of the board. It has been a slow process. It feels like a class action lawsuit without being a class action lawsuit. What I mean by that is we all continue to be individual plaintiffs, but they have been combined for certain administrative purposes, including discovery and settlement. I think every county in Kenosha. It's been a long one, folks. I think every county in the state has joined, maybe bar one, has joined into the lawsuit or lawsuits. A number of other municipalities have. Most of them are being represented by the same group of attorneys that we are. There's a handful that hired their own. And this is nationwide. They were all combined for purposes, again, of sort of administration. In 2021, we had a first round of settlements. Those involved a couple of very major manufacturers, as well as the Johnson & Johnson distributor. That is the settlement which we are currently receiving monies from, which the opioid litigation settlement task force, or whatever it's called, that the county executive put together, is studying ways to utilize those funds best.
I don't know if Terry Foss is here. I don't know if she's here for this or for something else. But
yes, I'm here.
Okay, all right. There are certainly people who can speak in much more detail and depth on those pieces. Mine is obviously the legal piece.
This is now the second round. This is two smaller distributors as well as three major pharmacy chains that have now reached a tentative settlement with the various municipal entities or governmental entities suing them. It is a smaller settlement because there are smaller groups, but it is structured very, very much the same. How it is set up is if we were to agree to the settlement terms, we would, over the course of the next several years, receive payments. Those payments are put into a dedicated account, can only be used for opioid abatement purposes. There is also a holdback, if you will, upfront of money to pay attorney's fees. As a quick aside, because I notice I'm already boring.
Yes.
Some people. which has been
it's
my goal.
It's been a long day.
Yes. Yes. This day started about Tuesday morning. Under the original terms of our agreement with our attorneys, I think it was a pretty standard 33% contingency quote unquote fee agreement. As part of this settlement process, that actually came down to 25%. And you'll note in the resolution itself, it talks about withholding 20%. That is in part because they have lowered what our attorneys are asking from us. It's also because they are making every effort to retrieve or recover as much of their fees as possible from a national settlement account in order to maximize the amount that the participating municipalities get. The other piece of it, and this is really exciting to me, which tells you how dull I am, Wisconsin really, I think, is a leader in how this has been handled, because in addition to the local municipalities, the states have been participants in these discussions. There are many states where the money was going to the state, and the state was taking 50, 60, 70% of it, and the other part was then being split up amongst all of the participating municipalities or local governments. Here in Wisconsin, through really, I think, the dedicated efforts of the WCA in particular, that split is 30% to the state. The additional, or the other 70%, is split up amongst the municipalities. I really think it is probably the most generous split for the municipalities that I've seen, at least in talking with my colleagues in other states. Then that 70% that goes to the municipalities, there is an agreement between all of the participating municipalities as to how that 70% is divided up. That's one of the many, many pages that's attached to the original resolution. That's because we're using exactly the same formula that was used for the first round of settlements. We wind up getting about 3.7% approximately of the 70% that's going to the local municipalities. That is one of the top shares, if you will, allocations, which is great. It's less great when you realize that's probably because it's based on how hard we've been hit. But nonetheless, from a purely dollar standpoint, it's certainly very exciting for our ability to try and use these monies now for something beneficial. Essentially, what we are asking for here is the county board to sign on to that settlement agreement. Again, if you went through these, you'll note that there are incentives based on the number of parties that sign on, participating up to 100% of the Wisconsin parties. The more people that sign on, the more money everybody gets, because these defendants want peace in their time. They want to be done with it. They want a full release and to be able to move on. The resolution is asking for your approval for the terms of the settlement, as well as authorizing me to sign the various agreements, which include the agreement with the state and the agreement with the other participating municipalities for that allocation. Happy to answer any questions that I can. Patty can speak a little bit perhaps more to some of the financial pieces of it. Carrie is here apparently to talk about what this means in real terms. Hopefully between the three of us we can answer whatever questions you might have.
Right. Mr. Chairman, I move item 7, the resolution to authorize.
Second.
Discussion?
Thank you to all the work you did on this thing and everyone that worked.
Anything else? Patty or? No.
Okay.
No. All right. No other? Yes, well, Brian.
Easy question. Monetizing. What's the number?
Currently, Patty, we have 1.75
yes,
million. There certainly the first payout
significantly higher than all the subsequent payouts we'll be getting. And until the lawsuit is settled, Attorney Cardamone, I'm sure you can attest, we won't know the final dollar until the final gavel falls.
Okay, but we're anticipating 175 to 2 million?
Over the life of the settlement.
Over the life of?
The original settlement that he referred to with the original distributors, Kenosha County was to get 10 million less the 20% for legal fees, so it spread out some as long as 18 years. So it's an amount per year. I have a little bit better handle on that. This, they have not given us final dollars as far as to the county level. They talk about the whole settlement nationally, but they don't talk about the component that comes to us. The closest I have heard is about 60% of the first settlement. And the payouts on this section are all over the place. There are four, there are five parties involved, and each of them has a different length of time. Where in the first one, Johnson & Johnson was 13 years, and the distributors were 18 years, but all of them were 18 years. So that was easier to quantify it. With this, it really is all over the place. So as Carrie said, when the settlement is finalized is when those numbers will start to come forward, and then it can provide more information.
And I should add that the deadline for signing on to the settlement is April 18th. That's part of the reason we're bringing it to you now. It looks like, based on, again, the information that I've seen and that I shared with you, in theory, we could start seeing money really probably by the end of summer. I am a little, I take that with a grain of salt because the last round started several months after they originally said we were going to be getting it, but certainly I would think by quarter three or the end of the year, we would start seeing the first payments from this.
Thank you. And an observation that I spoke with Council Cardamone earlier today, the Wisconsin memo regarding ramifications, it feels heavy-handed. It's really, I think, and that's what we spoke about, was designed to tell us there are real consequences to not moving forward, and that is being back into the pool where we have to litigate almost severally, individually at that point. So this is a pathway that allowed us probably the most cost-effective method to get to a settlement, and a very positive settlement for the county. So thank you, Chair.
All right, anything else? Ready to vote? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, it passes, and
thank you, Supervisor.
Joe, do you have anything else on the agenda this evening?
Sure.
All right, we're on number 8 on the agenda, but you also have Matt, correct, 11 and 12, or not?
12 and 13.
So you want to do all of those, if you would?
Your call.
Yeah.
Just
one
member.
No, we want him to sit here all night long.
Yeah. I'm already here, so whatever the committee chooses.
Get all right, number 8.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the first of the three, there's a resolution authorizing Director Parks to apply for grant funding from the WISDOT for a feasibility study for the Midwest Interstate Trail. Some previous board members remember this is an ongoing project that we started, I want to say, 2 years ago, in collaboration with Thielen Sand and Gravel. Thielen approached us. They're a fairly large property owner on the western side of Kenosha County. And given that, they found that a lot of their property between northern Illinois, McHenry, Lake County, as well as Kenosha County, create a great connection for off-road multi-use paths for connecting northern Illinois, Metro Chicago, to Kenosha County and beyond, utilizing their property, which is a huge cost savings to us being Kenosha County, that we do not have to do this as far as land acquisitions go. So part of the process connecting with the DOT is their recommendation to do a feasibility study. This will aid in future design elements as well as construction, working with the DOT for an 80-20 split, 80% funding on the DOT. Kenosha County would be on the hook for 20%. So this specific grant for a feasibility study, I do have a map that I can help pass out as far as knowing exactly where the limits of the study would be. But this taps into Clements County Highway W Phase 1 project, where a multi-use path is currently proposed. And there will be an off-road spur utilizing Thielen sand and gravel for a four-mile proposed path within Kenosha County. There's an additional 4 miles being proposed within McHenry County, so there'll be a total of 8 miles when this thing's all done and said, and that will branch off to additional trails. But our proposed feasibility is 4 miles. The total project cost is $100,000, whereas $20,000 would be Kenosha County match. We already have the $20,000 within the budget, so that's already supported. So what we are asking is approval as part of the grant process to proceed and apply for the feasibility study through the DOT.
All right, discussion?
Is the $20,000 actual dollars, or is it our time and things like that? Is that part of the $20,000?
It is actual dollars for contracted services.
Okay.
Any other discussion, Dave?
Matt, I know you're just planning, but this is a multi-million dollar project, right? I mean, we're gonna spend $100,000 and then at some future date we'll potentially propose something over a period of time that'll be
$100,000. We did a conceptual study just to get to this point, and with that there's cost estimates involved. It's about $2 million is the estimate for the total construction cost. So 20% would be on Kenosha County in the future.
About $400,000.
Correct. And with that, we do anticipate that this would be a multi-phase approach, that the DOT was not palatable on doing all of it all at once. So I think that's going to bring that dollar amount and more of a feasible project if we do a multi-year, so it won't be such a big ask for one budget cycle.
And then through the chair to Clement, in a project like this, although we would have to kick in $400,000, does it offset any normal road work we would have to do, like culvert work, or is it really purely a standalone bike trail project?
All right, further discussion? Yes, Aaron?
The $4 million, is that to do everything that's in red, or just a portion of it?
A portion, great question. The last spur on the top of the page from County Highway up to KAD, that is unknown what that cost would be. Most likely that's a very narrow road.
Yes.
So we're going to look into, if I had to be a guessing person, I would say that would be probably, if we could do it, more of an on-road component. Truly, our main focus is from, correct,
there,
that point.
To there.
All the way down to the south. Yes.
So when we're talking $4 million, we're talking all the way from W to the corner of F and KD.
That is correct.
That's correct?
The 4 miles right there.
That's $4 million.
$2 million for 4 miles.
$2 million for 4 miles. Okay. So.
And that last spur is not part of that mileage.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
John.
So what's the $200,000 or $100,000? Which part of this is it going to get us?
Sure.
Is this just engineering, or is it going to get us any pavement or what?
Nope, this is more design. So it's a lot of front loading with all this stuff. So there's environmental investigation, preliminary design, which we're already starting. Public involvement, work with the DOT, they do require public involvement meetings, so that'll be part of it through our design team. Survey, because we need to know specifically where those easements would be with Thielen sand and gravel, so there'd be survey work that would be done as part of this feasibility study. Title reports, archaeological investigation, and then reports and mapping. So that would be the $100,000. So it seems like a lot, but that's a lot of technical work that needs to happen with the actual design elements. So if we front load it with this feasibility report, we're going to pay less in the future for actual design, if that makes sense.
So then, see. So we don't have to continue here if we don't get the $100,000 grant then?
No, we have to get the grant. We wouldn't be doing this all alone with Kenosha County funding.
Okay.
We'd depend on DOT to do this project.
Well, I will be tending to support it then, as long as the $100,000 is from the state then.
$80,000.
Okay, 20 from us. Right. I was thinking 120. So, thank you for the clarification.
You bet.
Further discussion? Brian.
Couple minor questions, probably. But do we have other trailheads in this area already, or would this be our only county trail is we have veterans out here.
So we do have, adjacent to Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park, off-road bike paths. So we have a trail spur there. We have the north bike trail, as well as the south bike trail, more in the city of Kenosha. The one map in front of you will tie in the County Highway W project. That's not highlighted because it's not part of this feasibility study. And that will directly tie into the 4 miles down south within McHenry County. So these will all be interconnected as part of our long-range plan. And it's all part of our comprehensive bike study and bike plan that we have. So we try to nibble off what we can based on opportunities that are in front of us.
Okay, what is Thielen's motivation behind this? They initiated the discussion.
In my mind, Thielen is a family-owned company that really does want to give back to the community. Steve Thielen, he's gonna be retiring soon. He's an avid bicyclist with his family. And after we started talking to him about the mining of our highway pit, we found different mutually agreeable types of solutions towards recreational amenities within Kenosha County. And he said he got that idea at 2 a.m. He woke up and started drawing on a map and said, I have all this property. I like biking with my family. This just makes sense. So he's working out deals with McHenry County, all the townships and villages to the south of us, as well as Kenosha County being a key player. Last meeting we had with all of the municipalities, everyone was looking at Kenosha County that we're the leader of this project with how far we already are. So I think it exemplifies that if we can showcase this project, hopefully Northern Illinois keeps up to our pace. So they're all looking towards us as the leader of this design and this project.
And then my other question is, Thielen carries a lot of land mass along here, which you called out at the beginning as well. What's the long-term solution? Are they closing the mine out over time? Is that going to be developed? Do you have any inkling into, or is it going to be bike trail along the edge of a mine?
I would say that part of our future agreements with Thielen and Sand and Gravel, if they decide to either do a development with their gravel operations or reclamation, they need reclamation plans with whatever they do within Twin Lakes and beyond, that they would be on the hook if that path changed or altered because of the development that they do, they have to replace it 100% on their own.
Thank you. All right, any other discussion? All right, seeing none, are you ready to vote? Is there any request for a roll call? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous, and we'll circulate that.
Mr.
And
Chair.
Then you want to go on to the next one, number 12?
Terry,
oh, I'm sorry.
If I remind you, don't forget the eggs on our votes.
All right, I just caught them on the voice board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so next one in front of the committee is a resolution authorizing Director of Parks apply for grant funding from the Wisconsin DNR for Pets Park Improvement. I'll talk broadly about the next two resolutions for just a brief second or two. Both of these resolutions in front of you, resolution for item 12 and 13, are both for just to apply with the Wisconsin DNR for stewardship funding. Again, for the members that have been part of this committee, annually the Wisconsin DNR have a stewardship grant opportunity for local municipalities for park improvements within their communities. A majority of those improvements that we were awarded since I've been here and beyond, before that time, was for now what's called Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park. And it helped us reduce a lot of our costs by 50% of the project cost with these stewardship grants. So for example, the two parkways that we put in there, the restroom facility by Freedom Lake, the amount of trails that we enhanced throughout that park. Now we have 8 miles of trails. I could go on and on. So this is a great opportunity for us to halve the financial cost of any capital improvement for our county park improvement projects. Part of their requirement is for us to seek county board authorization approval to apply for these stewardship grants. It's a very competitive process throughout the state of Wisconsin. We always cross our fingers. We've been very successful in the past, but this is the first step of the process for us to seek and actually apply for those types of grants. The first one in front of you is specifically for Petrifying Springs Park, and this is part of the larger project for the Piker Phase 3 Restoration Initiative. Many are aware of Phase 1 and 2 being successfully accomplished. Phase 3 is the last phase within Petrifying Springs Park, and the stewardship grant in front of you would pay for a portion of those types of improvements, being majority of a new pedestrian bridge that we're called out for, linking parking lot number 2 to parking lot number 1, kind of close to where the beer garden is, as well as some other trail improvements that help with pedestrian accessibility and safety. So the total project for that portion, not the total project of Pike River, I want to be clear, but the total for the pedestrian access is estimated at $490,200, which of half would be $245,100 would be Kenosha County match. If we do get awarded, this does have to come back to the committees and boards for approval, either through the annual budget, or if we're in a rush and we need things approved, we will come back as an independent resolution for that actual budget approval process. Nothing has been budgeted as of now for this project. Pike River Phase 3 is shown in the CIP for 2024. It's estimated as of right now $3.1 million for the total project, but this will help nibble away at having those matching grants available. So it's not the only grant we're applying for Phase 3, but it's one of the many, and this one needs board approval to apply.
Discussion? Is there a resolution?
If it's okay, I would move approval of 12 and 13.
All right, well, why don't we separate them?
Okay, I'll just move approval.
In case somebody wants to
second.
Vote for one, but not the other. All right, discussion on 12. Yes, Brett.
A quick question, Matt. Were these included in the budget for this year at all, or are these new? Because the bridge I saw plans previously, so.
So not in 2023. It was within the 2023 budget for future projects, so it was shown for 2024. So nothing was approved through the Kenosha County Board financially for this year, so there's no funding for this project or Phase 3 as it stands right now.
And you don't anticipate this moving until 24?
Correct. We're anticipating if we get our funding in order with grants that construction can start next year in 2024.
And how much did you budget for future projects as we look, instead of me going and opening and finding it?
$3.1 million, I think, was the estimate that was on the budget books.
And this is only $245,000?
Correct. For this portion. So for the pedestrian bridge and public trails.
Connect the lots into a bridge.
What's that again?
Connect the lots into a bridge.
Correct.
Anything further? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. And 13.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'll make this one quick. This is for Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park. We're currently constructing one out of the proposed 6 memorial shelters that will represent military branches within Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park. This resolution in front of you would again seek half of the funding for the next memorial shelter. The total anticipated cost of this is $320,000. We're seeking $160,000 both from Kenosha County match as well as DNR funding. So if there's any other questions, or I'll seek your approval so we can apply for this grant.
I move approval.
Second. Brian. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, then we'll return to number 9. Leasing of the highway storage yard. Is that Clement?
I'll support you in any way you need.
He's retiring. He doesn't care about you.
Don't say I don't care.
About chairs.
Oh. Yeah. What you have in front of you is a resolution to authorize the lease of Kenosha County property to Kenosha County Achievement Center versus Western KC Transit Services. They approached the county sometime, I think late last year? I can't remember exactly, requesting for a space to park about 3 buses. And the option that we had was the a facility in the pit, in our pit, and they examined it, and they said it would be very, it's okay for what they're looking for. And so for us to do that, we have to seek authorization from the county board to allow them to use that space for a nominal fee of about $1. And the reason why it's $1 is because Kenosha County is deeply invested in this transit system.
All right, discussion?
Yes.
John?
Is this space inside the heated building where we keep our snow plows and all that kind of stuff, or where is this?
We don't, this building doesn't, we don't keep snow plows in this building. It's in the pit. It's a storage facility.
Okay, so
we keep equipment in some sections of it, but there's enough space for them to store their buses.
So at least it would be out of the weather in the wintertime. Yeah.
Correct.
Thank you.
Dave?
So thank you, Mr. Chairman, to Clement. What changed with Kenosha Achievement Center where we could help them out with this?
Initially, they used to, they were using the fire storage from the fire department in Randall. But it looks like Randall has other plans for that space, and so they are out. They don't have space to care for the buses.
Glad we could help them.
For $1. Okay.
Any other discussion, Brian?
Number of questions. Thank you, Chairman. What is the duration of this? Is there a termination date? There's not a termination that I see in the agreement.
Well, there's a termination date for, I think, next year,
December
of 2024. They'll have to go back to the lease and renew it, the lease, if we want to or not.
And any other requirements of them? Keeping the facility, I assume they have after-hours access, things like that. Are there any requirements placed upon them, or is it just for giving you access and you can do what you want?
No, they have certain requirements. They'll have to follow certain safety protocols. They are going to be upgrading the door systems in order for the door to be automated. And they will have to use our property I don't know how to describe it, make sure that they don't misuse our property in terms of, using the lavatory and all those type of things. They should do. They should have their own portable lavatories and stuff like that.
Okay. So the terms and conditions, they're agreeable. Nothing in there that you see, and Shelly signed off as well. So.
Yes, Shelly sends apologies. She was the one to present this, but she couldn't make it here today.
Erin?
So us renting that to them for $1 saves them from having to find somewhere, pay them, and then charge us back to rent it, basically, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Anyone else? So is there a hold harmless agreement here? I didn't read this lease.
Say that again.
Carefully. But is there any kind of hold harmless agreement?
Yes.
Where is that?
They have $1 million.
They have a liability section there for $1 million for bodily.
Okay.
Part B.
Yeah.
Okay. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. So you're on number 10?
Yes.
No, he's looking at you.
Okay, number 10. This is a request to repurpose APA's funding from County Trunk Highway S project to County Trunk Highway EM project. The County Trunk Highway EM project, when it was initially conceived, was a simple project that we're just going to do a resurfacing highways like we typically do and get out of it. But we were approached by the village of Twin Lakes, and we decided to collaborate with them. Due to that, the scope of the project changed, and due to the fact that the construction period is also very short, so the price went up significantly. So in order to offset that increase in price, we are requesting authorization to repurpose funds from County Trunk Highway S to County Trunk Highway EM, given the fact that we've realized that we did a lot of cost saving during the County Trunk Highway S construction, and the $847,000 will not be needed on S.
Discussion? Is there a motion?
I would move approval.
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing that, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes. You have the next one as well?
Yes. The next one is a resolution authorizing the collection of $100,000 from Flint Development.
I knew you invited me here for something. Hopefully you can just sort of share these.
I have one already.
Did you have one already? Okay.
You're still on the payroll, not consulting.
Yeah.
Fees, right?
Yeah. You couldn't afford me if I was a consultant.
So the reason we're collecting the funds is for the...
Maybe you can share with some folks.
It's for the cost for the wear and tear due to the development. So the development, as you can see on the map, is on the southwest corner of County Trunk Highway E and the West Frontage Road. That is the yellow section of the map. The red section is where they are going to be doing improvement on County Trunk Highway E. For that improvement to occur, they'll have to close down at County Trunk Highway E to do the work. And that would mean that traffic along E will be diverted to County Trunk Highway MB, which is highlighted in green. So because traffic, regular traffic and construction traffic will be diverted to County Trunk Highway MB, we are asking them to participate in the funding for the wear and tear, to repair the wear and tear of County Trunk Highway MB. And that is what that $100,000 is.
All right, discussion? Yes.
What kind of vehicles? Is this just the normal passenger vehicles that are going to be shifted, or are we talking construction vehicles that are going to be moved and traveling on MB that we were not anticipating normal wear?
Both.
Both, okay. And is this normal that we do this, where we ask developers like this to reimburse us for reconstruction costs?
Typically, we've not done that in the past, but we started realizing the damage and the wear and tear on our highway, and then we started negotiating with them. So I think this is the first time for what we call mitigation routes. We do request for funding for improvement on our highways if it's to accommodate traffic for the development. But this is the first time we are getting funds for wear and tear.
I am glad to see it.
Brian.
Thank you, Chair. Do we have weight class restrictions on MB?
No, not at that location.
So it's open class?
Yes.
Same for the frontage road?
Yes.
Are we restricting construction traffic to the frontage road?
No.
Why? I'm going to ask why not.
Well, because frontage road is DOT. Our jurisdiction, that's why, and it's built for huge trucks. Secondly, the way the road is closed is not because they like to use MB, it's just that there is no other way to go but to go that direction.
I'm thinking more of site construction specific equipment.
Yeah, the well, the time when County Trunk Highway E will be closed when they're doing construction on Highway E. They wouldn't have enough room to be doing...
Just when they do the improvement.
Correct.
So my understanding is the rest of this block will also develop in the next few years.
I will ask for more funds for...
You'll ask for more?
More funds for where?
Yeah, we give me. We can get more money for MB and do it again.
Yes. If that's the case.
$100,000 ain't going to go too far.
No.
Clement, what's going in there? What's Flint?
I think it's an industrial building. And most of the time, they don't typically tell us in advance what is going to be going in there, because they are mainly industrial buildings, and the developers, they usually construct them and then lease them out.
You know, so what TIF that's in? You know what TIF that's in?
Yes.
What TIF?
I don't think this is a TIF. This
it's not a TIF?
No. I don't think so. This is in Paris. So
that would be the summer's.
That's summer, summer's TIF. Yeah.
Yeah. The summer TIF. I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's a joint project between Summers and Paris.
Yeah.
So it's a spec building, okay.
Yeah.
Correct.
And they plan to develop this whole block as time goes forward. The developers already bought up most of the pieces in here.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to grab the floor. But, when we did the intergovernmental agreement between the three governments to get the water and a bunch of other stuff, between Paris, the city, and the village of Summers, we did authorize a way to move this piece into the village of Summers and TIF it, and then there would be revenue sharing with the town of Paris. So I don't know. I don't know if that happened, but that was something that the intergovernmental agreement did authorize. I don't remember. If you're on the drug review board, you'd have to see something like that come in, and you didn't see that.
There hasn't been something for approval, but at the annual meeting, they talked about a variety of projects. Whether this was one of them in which it was, I'm not sure. I have to.
It'd be cool to learn if this is going right on the tax base or whether this is going into a TIF. That may be in a future meeting.
Sure.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
All right, anything else? Is there a motion?
I would
move approval.
Go ahead. I moved approval.
Second. All right.
And further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you. That brings us down to Brookside, number 14.
To present the Brookside year-end financials for 2022. You probably would have received them in February. So at the end of December 2022, Brookside's, if you go to page 2, their census for year-to-date is 96.7. We had budgeted for 2022 134. So they're about 38 beds under what we budgeted. Page 3 of 6 starts their profit and loss statement. In the light green is where their resident revenue is. They were $5.5 million under the revenue budget, directly due to the census. Then we have their expenses, which also were under budget, $3.2 million. So our revenue was under $5.5, our expenses were under $3.2. So they actually came in at a loss for the year end of $2.3 million. We had some major changes in December from November. So they were losing about $200,000 to $300,000 per month. And what we received in December was a Medicaid retro payment. So Medicaid changed the way they pay nursing homes in January of 2022. And then we also received a retro payment from starting July 1st, which is the state fiscal period. And our rates increased about 40% for Medicaid. So we get a supplemental payment from Medicaid that increased 40% and our rates. Now our rate is no longer one rate per resident. It all depends on the CMI, the case mix index. So we were projecting about a $3 million loss, and now it's at $2.3 million. This is a year to date. The Medicaid rate was effective July 1st. So this year for 2023, we'll actually see that rate increase for the whole year, which will help improve as well. As well as getting our census up, getting the staffing in. We've made some changes to the staffing pay to hopefully get the staffing in that we can build our census up. If you look at page 5, I've put together a revenue and expense analysis patient per day. And what this does is it breaks out our census mix and gives the profit and loss that makes up that $2.3 million loss. So in the light blue section, the first section is our Med A. So in our Medicare A, we had a profit of $133,000. The next one is managed care. We had a loss of $178,000. Private pay, we had a loss of almost $1.2 million. And Medicaid, a loss of $1.4 million. We had Medicare B, profit of almost $300,000. So all of those together equal our loss of the $2.3 million. Part of the reason for this loss and some of the losses in those other census mix is our cost per day, which is $458. The reason this cost is so high is because our census is down and our fixed costs are being spread amongst less beds. Normally, before pre-COVID, we usually ran about 360, 370 a day. We've closed January, and January for Medicaid, so on here you can see the Medicaid section, we had a loss of 88.62 per patient day. When we closed January, our loss was only $35 per day.
For the month of January?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You're throwing out a lot of numbers
real
quick.
Sorry.
And so, why on these pages are the negatives not in parentheses when it's over or in parentheses? That confuses the heck out of me. Or is that just me?
In the target section?
Yes.
It's what I've just been struggling through.
Because everywhere else you have negative numbers are in parentheses, correct?
Well, so it depends. So the revenue in the parentheses is different than the expense in the parentheses, right? Because you want to be over in revenue, but you want to be under in expenses. So it just determines which way you want to look at it. I mean, I could change them the other way too, so.
I'm not a bookkeeper, but isn't it parentheses are negative?
No, parentheses,
deviation.
Yes. But like in the revenue section, your credits are good, you know, and then in the expense, your credits are bad, so, yeah. So we either have to go one or the other, so it's going to look, you know, in the revenue or the expense section.
Well, what are you anticipating for 2023?
So our census is moving up. Our pay is moving up. If we can start filling beds, our Medicaid rate has been good. I think we could start to actually see profit if we can get our census up.
And so what are you averaging now in census?
We're at 107 today, which,
107.
Yes.
So has that been typical since January?
No, it has not. We've been slowly growing with our new employees. Our census is growing, and there's a direct correlation in relation to that. So January's average occupancy was 99. We've already had 27 admissions this month in March, whereas last month we had 25 for the entire month. So it's evident that as we are hiring the CNAs and getting them trained and on the floor, census is growing. So we've had 107 all week.
So you think we're going to have a loss in 23?
I can't necessarily predict that.
Further discussion, anyone?
Mr. Chairman, to Tammy. And so just on the chairman's question here, and looking at where this is going, we had a $2.3 million loss. We're covering a lot of that, if not all, with ARPA, right? So do we have another year of ARPA to cover if we have another loss? Can we cover the 23 loss with ARPA?
Depending on what the 23 loss is, yes.
Yeah.
We had set aside, we have a remaining 4.775
right.
set aside in the ARPA plan for losses to offset lost revenue on the Brookside.
Yeah.
for the remainder until the end of 2024.
So we've got cash to cover losses through 2024. Now, in looking, and I know that I heard the director say she can't do a prediction, but I think, Tammy, you could sway. I mean, I'm swaying a prediction. It looks like we more than cut this loss in half, if not down to one-fourth. I don't know what the odds are, but it looks like there's a chance it could break even.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, if our census remains the same, so we were
at the 107
losing,
or
yeah. Well, even less. I mean, January.
And we potentially could go up with where we got the staffing now, right?
Exactly. That's exactly my point. So we were losing between 200 and 300,000 for January. We only lost 130, and that was at an average census of 99. So if we move that up, I definitely see it going the other way. It's just ramping up to that, and I think we could even get into the profit, you know, as long as we can fill those beds for sure.
So on the chairman's question, I know we're only getting close to the end of Q1, but this is looking way better this year than it looked last year.
Oh yeah. Yep.
I yield.
Aaron.
How are we doing on employees?
Actually, knock on wood, we're making progress. So CNAs were always the biggest issue. There have been a lot of factors in place. Thank you all for the increase in relation to the CNAs. It's definitely made an improvement. In addition to the WIS caregiver program, that's a grant program through the state, we are getting the employees that we have desperately needed in relation to CNAs.
Like, how many are we short? Or are we almost
It's about 15 to 17 employees CNAs, and that's really where our biggest loss is. So that's what I'm factoring, which is the equivalent of about 10 FTEs.
Okay. And are all our wings open now, or we still have one closed?
No, we still have one of our memory care units, the hallway closed, 16 beds, in addition to a part of the second floor of rehab. I think we have four residents up there right now. 600 hall was kind of the beginning of the opening. So that is full except for maybe seven beds or so. So we're definitely progress compared to last year.
Okay, so we have less than one wing closed, would you say?
Well, it depends on what you say a wing is. But we have approximately 40 beds, a little less than that are more so that are needing to be filled.
Okay, and now Tammy said that we budgeted 134 beds. Was that last year's budget, 2022?
Yeah.
What did we budget for 2023?
So we brought that down 6 beds, so we're at 128 for 2023.
And we are at 107 filled.
Yeah.
So we're only 19 short.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Attainable.
Yes.
Yes, I have a relative that was in there this year, and the service was incredible. So you're keeping up with the staff. The service is keeping up too. It's a great job.
Thank you very much.
And I would just like to add that as a CNA at Brookside Care Center, I started back in August. With the increases to the wage, we have seen more CNAs. I'm seeing more training on the schedules. I'm seeing more new faces that I haven't seen before. And I am directly seeing a correlation to that. We closed down our second memory care hall, the wing, 200. We opened up 600. We are seeing more residents on 600 than there were on 200. So there's an increase in beds there. And since my time, I've started in August. This is the first time I have seen the second floor of rehab opened up, which is, I would also correlate to the increase in staff that we are seeing there. And our rehab has been, our first floor has been full this past little while, the second floor is open. We're seeing an increase with the increase in staff, and I think after just a little bit, we'll get there. It's getting better, and I foresee that it will still get better.
And you had mentioned right away that you thought that, how many months ago, you had mentioned that the increase in pay, you already saw people mm-hmm. were applying.
We had the initial one, this is fall of 22. We had the initial increase before the budget hearings in October,
mm-hmm.
and I personally did see a few more aides as we got a little more competitive. We were starting to get a little more competitive with the wages of local areas and other nursing homes and hospitals. And then with the increase in the budget, I have definitely seen a bigger impact in the number of CNAs that we are getting, and that there is a definite increase in this. And that is, I personally think it correlates directly to the number of beds that we are filling.
Great.
And through the chair to our HR director, so I know that this, a lot of the success is coming from our class and comp. And I remember sitting in the Human Services Committee and we had a real robust discussion about that. But the point being that in order to keep the success going here, we have to keep that up too. And I know you're working on that, but we have to keep that piece going in order to keep this piece working. So that's ideal.
Right.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to ask for an additional chart in the future document pack. I'd like to see a rolling census, 24-month rolling, that shows us where you're actually at on a monthly and what your target is for break-even. So give me some milestones in that, and then maybe add some attributes like when we did the pay increase, when we did staffing level changes or open wings. That's pictorially, it's easier to understand, okay. We're here, but we need to be here, so.
Yeah.
But are we progressing? Are we declining? Are we flat? What's happening? It just makes it easier to pick it up, if you can. Thank you.
Yeah. There's a little bit, just so you know, on page two. Mm-hmm. It does have the year over year. It
yeah,
doesn't have the monthly, but we could do that.
I like the part, but I like the rolling.
Yeah.
Further discussion?
Just a quick comment. I wanted to introduce my director of nursing, Rachel McFarland, and my admissions director, Diana Christofferson, who have worked so hard. Rachel, you've been with Brookside 38 years now?
37.
Started as a CNA and is now the director of nursing and then only a few years from retirement. So these two ladies have worked incredibly hard and appreciate them a ton. Definitely takes a team.
All right, thank you, and further discussion?
I look forward to a good report next time.
Very good.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
That's a good point. Are we going to get this quarterly or monthly?
Well, you get this every month.
I know we get it every month, but are we going to have an in-person quarterly, maybe looking at how we're doing when we get to maybe month four or five, and then you can come in? I think this is really important to know.
So could you come in quarterly?
Oh, yeah.
All right, further?
Yes.
All right, that's, I don't think we need any motion on this, but thank you for coming.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
The bills booklet, is that circulating somewhere? Oh, okay. Any committee reports? Yeah, or their administration reports?
The only thing is the general fund report.
Nothing. All right.
All right. Everyone should have a copy of the general fund report, and we've had that sent out to them ahead of time. So this is the second, pointed out to the committee, this is the second to last report that you'll get next month as part of the carryover and closeout resolution. You'll get our unaudited final figures. A lot of these figures are almost final. There's some that are not quite final. But this gives you a pretty good snapshot of where we are. So some major changes from last month's report. I took the Pleasant Prairie closing proceeds, and instead of having it as a below the line item, I put it into the meat of the increases the general fund at the top there. The human services surplus, we're conservatively showing an increase to that from 2.165 to 3.2 with I believe some room to grow yet there too.
What do you attribute that?
They do a lot of year-end journal entries offsetting costs against the grants, and so that's why there's a lot of calculations that are done at year-end. When we closed out our insurances, a lot of those costs were then journal entry charged back to them, and so then they get it off. Yeah, a lot of accounting juggling going on. But we're doing it to the benefit of the county, because then we can draw it down, right? The third line there is the sales tax. So here's another feel-good story. So our December sales tax number was the highest month we've ever received in Kenosha County history. It was $2.14 million. We've never hit $2 million in a month, and December was $2.14. So that put us at $20.2 million for the year, which put us at $1.321 million over what we budgeted.
Right.
Quick question on the sales tax revenue. Do you graph it as categories, fuel tax, other things, or how do you...
We do have detail. We don't necessarily... Oh, go ahead.
I don't want to do that.
We don't look at it at a month-to-month basis. In a few months, we'll be preparing for our rating agency presentation, and that is when there's a few of us that have access to that.
You can give us a pie or a bar or something.
Yeah. Well, technically, I don't think we're... Can we get a report on the detail?
First of all, the detail on the sectors would come from a different area than your thinking, so the information in where you're thinking is confidential. But the information by sector is accessible in public information. So yes, I can provide that.
So we can give you an idea of what sectors we're driving at. Okay.
That's what I'm asking.
Retail.
And then subcategory, we have a lot of big box distribution. I'm curious what they drive.
Right. The proprietary part is obviously who.
Yeah.
We can't tell you the who. We can tell you.
Correct.
What?
Which is fine.
Yeah. Also, for 2022, 8 of the 12 months were record months for those. So the rest of them in the increase category didn't change necessarily too materially. Bit here and there. Like I said, we closed out the insurance, so workers' comp closed in at a surplus of $310,000, which was exactly offset by a liability insurance deficit of $310,000 on the section below there. Sheriff's Department, that's pretty close to being finalized. It did increase by a couple hundred thousand, but it actually was less than what I thought it was going to get worse. So that was a positive trend. I want to also bring your attention to the treasurer revenue line item. So what's included in that $450 to $849 is there is a category, or I should say, there is an unrealized loss that's attributed to the county's investments. So in the environment of the rising interest costs, some of the securities that the county invested in were securities in which we have to book at market, and that means that if we had to liquidate them prior to them maturing. Thank you. I was going to say expiring.
I don't like that.
Expiring didn't sound good. Maturing. Right.
I'm getting tired of that word.
As part of that 849 deficit, 1.35 of that is this net unrealized loss. that's a book loss. It's not a real loss. It would only be a loss if we had to liquidate them ahead of time.
So we're not still
Silicon Valley Bank.
Yeah. But it does.
You beat me to it.
I was going to mention that
when
you got a giant bank or whatever that unfortunately cooked their goose. But
not applicable here. Right?
No. Not applicable here. And I also want to point out a positive trend in speaking with our investment advisors is that in this, now with the rates being in the 4 and 5%, but they can renew these as these expire at the lower rates. Not only are we knocking off these unrealized losses, we're actually booking gains. And now when we're re-upping these, resetting them, as Dave called them, we're getting 4 and 5%, which will just add to the bottom line for the interest income going forward. So in perspective, so last year we had about $900,000 in interest revenue. In the first 2 months of this year, we've already had almost half of that in just the first 2 months. They also advise that potentially with if inflation continues and the federal government starts taking measures to reduce interest rates, then interest rates could lower, and those instruments that we've locked in at the higher rates will actually then show us a net unrealized gain on top of this. So just another positive.
So would you sell them?
No, that's a good question.
Well,
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Could be the cost.
For one, the reinvestment would then be at a lower interest rate. So we'd be losing out on the higher interest rate that we've locked in. So it's unlikely that we would sell. We're watching this closely because we invested the ARPA funds and we are expending ARPA funds, but at this point we've not rolled anything out of the investments. Our cash flow has been sufficient and we believe it will continue to be sufficient through September. We will reevaluate at that time if any of the maturities then need to be rolled out so we have the cash, we will do that. But at this time we've been holding firm and so we're envisioning that we will be reinvesting at those higher interest rates, which will help with 23 and 24 budgets.
As a vehicle, can we take a loan from ourselves rather than cashing out at a loss? In other words, we would spread it over out of our own bank account.
It's a cash flow situation. So these funds are tied up. And we collect property taxes through July 31st. We settle with municipalities in August, which is about a $30 million hit. And then after that, we have bonding revenue that usually comes in September. And after that, we start to draw down our cash. So by December and into the first couple weeks of January are our lowest cash flow points. And we don't want to borrow. Short-term borrowing doesn't make any sense. We have to have the cash available to fund payroll and the normal reoccurring expenses, and that's what we're watching.
And if we have a bond that we'd have to book a loss on, that's probably not.
We wouldn't cash out one of the bonds. When they get to maturity, we're no longer at a loss.
Right. Okay.
So it's the ones that are maturing that we're watching to see, do we reinvest those or do we roll those out?
Like I said, I'm not an accountant. I just make money. My wife takes care of it.
Yeah, that's why we hire the advisors.
Exactly.
Because we're not.
I need somebody
to have enough advisors.
I was good at it. I would be sitting here.
Mr. Chairman, on this issue, when was the last time we had a report to the committee from Dana? Is that the lion's share of where this money is? That
yes.
Is the 1.2 million. Or are we due for a report at some point? Or
they haven't been here for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, we have this report that shows all the instruments. My recall is that they reset. The portfolio that we had was much more conservative and much safer than what these SVB and these other banks had, where they actually had these liquidated losses. And we manage our cash flow so we don't have to draw, whereas they're having a run on the bank, so they had to draw and then liquidated losses. So, but is that something that would be worthy or worthwhile to have them come in and report?
Yeah, I was just going to ask. We could have a report like that. If your desire is to have them come in as part of that, that would certainly be good.
Why don't you put that in the next?
Could I request that be a May item?
April's going to be busy.
April is close out, and there are a couple other big items that maybe can be forward, so it could be a very lengthy meeting. I think you would get more value if we get to tonight.
Have we ever sold those things at a loss?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. I mean, there wouldn't be any reason to.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
We'd have to be so low in cash that we'd be forced to have to do it.
Yeah.
We never. Not even in the worst of times.
No, I never did.
Okay. Also in the negative territory, I think we closed out health insurance, so that ticked up a little bit, but that's in the overall scheme of things, when you add up the insurances, we're within a few percentages of what the total budget was, so we did very well there again. So in total, in taking into all these factors into consideration, we're in the plus territory, 2.4 conservatively, 34, 35 range. Now this general fund expenditures number, we'll have the final number. This is just an estimate in the next month's report, the actual. So that'll affect the percentage there. And then that last percentage shows you that how close we are to the overall budget. Or actually, I should say, the addition, how much it is compared to the overall expenditures within that few percent. So we'll take any of the questions if you have.
Brian?
Miscellaneous OPEX was 300 above. Is that the new wages or
which one? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Miscellaneous operating expense revenue deficit.
$296.
Yeah,
that's basically a lot. It's just the catch-all of all the departments.
Any little
ups and downs. Yeah.
Okay. So it's a variable spend account.
Yeah.
Anything else? That's it. All right. That does complete the agenda, unless there are any other reports. No. All right. Is there a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening.